It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Yesterday, Drake University's athletic director, Sandy Hatfield Club, spoke in front of a panel of sports administrators in our nation's capital. Her topic? New ways to think about collegiate athletics as part of the university system. Hatfield Club says Drake is trying to make sports co-curricular instead of extracurricular. Craig Owens is a associate professor of English at Drake University. He's trying to make an effort as a non-sports enthusiast to bring the locker room into the classroom. They both join us now. Sandy Hatfield Club, athletic director of Drake University. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
And Craig Owens, associate professor of English at Drake University, directing the Center for Humanities at Drake. Also, you wrote an article that pertains to our topic in the Chronicles of Higher Education in April, titled Bringing the Locker Room into the Classroom. Craig Owens, welcome to you.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Sandy Hatfield Club, tell us more about what you shared with that panel yesterday.
Well, I'm happy to do that. Our approach to Division I athletics is unique in the sense that we are trying to become part of the integral part of the mission of the institution, the educational mission, specifically to develop a co-curricular program through athletics. And so what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
That means that we take a different view. We're intellectualizing what our student-athletes are learning through their sport. So we have a shared belief on our campus that sport teaches some very specific, let me say it this way, it's a platform for leadership learning for our students, and so we've become intentional about helping them learn what they're learning through sport. So, for example, we took our football team to Africa in 2011, and while they were there, we had, along with our Mexican opponent, they spent a day doing clinics for 500 youth in the community. Our student athletes then did 3 days worth of service and then spent 6 days climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. But we didn't leave it to chance that they started to understand what they're learning about leadership through that experience. We had a faculty member in business and a faculty member in education that taught a course named Leading with Emotional Intelligence. So our students actually studied emotional intelligence through that experience that they had.
Mm-hmm.
We have two faculty members in business and international business who are taking our men's and women's soccer teams to Mexico in our J term, our January term this year, and they're studying international business and globalization for those students who are traveling.
I think you've said that sports, university sports, is at a crossroads, collegiate athletics. Describe what you see as that crossroads. What has happened to collegiate sports to bring it to a crossroads?
Well, a number of years ago, back in the mid-'80s, we commercialized sport at a whole nother level, and the infusion of money into intercollegiate athletics over the years has grown significantly to where now leagues are signing television contracts for, you know, they're probably looking at hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's an incredible amount of money that creates significant disparity within Division I athletics, and many times you need to scratch your head and ask, how much money do we need to run this organization? But what's happened is there are very, very high-paid coaches, administrators, and the student-athletes and the investment in the student-athlete is being questioned on whether or not it's an appropriate relationship now between the student-athlete and the university relative to the funding. So we have a number of things that are happening right now, the evolution today that's happening, is we have some court decisions that are either in play, in appeal, that are putting pressure on our entire system. And we have the unionization question happening up at Northwestern, as well as governance restructuring that's happening within the NCAA to respond to those things. And what's happened is the Big Five now, they actually have a name. That's the high revenue producing leagues, which is all centered around football. They actually have a title now. That's what they're called. And now we've actually given them even more autonomy and change in the governance structure And so it just brings about more questions about the integrity, if you will, of Division I sport and how we hold it together. Because I do know in those schools, and I spent 16 years at Arizona State before coming to Drake, and I do know at those schools where there is a large amount, they still are right-minded in how they approach intercollegiate athletics relative to education and those types of things. So it's not that we've lost sight of that, in my opinion, at most places, but we've allowed the infusion of dollars to put a lot of pressure and to maybe rightfully question where are we today in intercollegiate athletics.
So in your talk yesterday in Washington, trying to make sports co-curricular instead of extracurricular, how does that shift in thinking and action address the problems that you've just described?
Well, what it does is bring us into complete alignment, in very well-defined alignment with an institutional mission. So it's bringing true integrity to what it is and why we're doing what we're doing in intercollegiate athletics, and further advancing, if you will, what sport can and mean and can and should mean to a student athlete. What are they getting out of this experience beyond the fact that they get to express themselves as an athlete in their college experience? So it provides them a greater meaning, a greater connection, and it makes more sense, in my opinion, in terms of why we're doing what we're doing, why we're making these investments. I will tell you that it also attracts people. This is how it's working and why it's working at Drake. It's allowed us to attract people, coaches in particular, that want to coach for a higher purpose, if you will. They want to further develop young people to become better citizens and what have you. They want to help teach in ways that goes beyond just the game. It attracts those people, and we pay them well. We're not going to have the extra zero on salaries at Drake. We're not going to do it. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense for our institution to do it. But we can attract highly, highly talented people that want to come together to do something special by having a greater purpose, if you will, for what we're doing. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Sandy Hatfield Club is my guest, if you just joined us, athletic director at Drake University. Craig Owens is with us, associate professor of English at Drake University. Sandy Hatfield Club spoke to a panel of sports administrators in Washington, D.C. yesterday about some of the changes that she would like to see in intercollegiate athletics, making them more co-curricular instead of extra-curricular. Let's talk about the other end of this equation. Craig Owens, as associate professor of English at Drake University, you wrote, recently authored a commentary for the Chronicles of Higher Education titled Bringing the Locker Room into the Classroom. So now we're going the other way. You've been trying to bring some things from sports into the classroom to make that teaching more valuable. What lessons from the locker room have you brought to the classroom?
Well, Ben, the motivation for getting coaching in the classroom started happened when I observed a locker room talk in the women's basketball, during a women's basketball game, when I was something called an honorary coach. And what I saw in that locker room was a group of young women who were really taking responsibility for making decisions about strategy, about gameplay, about how they were going to go about doing what they were about to do on the court, and leveling criticisms to one another, offering input, really engaging in an organic way with one another and learning from one another. And so the question that came to my mind was, how do I get that kind of dynamic in my classrooms? How do I create a dynamic, or how can I foster a dynamic where the students are really taking the lead on directing themselves and one another in their own learning, and where they're really feeling a sense of mutual responsibility in the collaboration that we do. That they're not just going through the motions of discussion, or that they're not just talking to me who's standing at the front of the classroom and relying on me to process and make sense of their insights.
Mm-hmm.
So coaching in the classroom really has to do with, it's not just a metaphor, it really has to do with thinking about teaching as a kind of coaching, but knowing that when the actual learning takes place, and when learning objectives are being pursued and learning activities are happening, that those endeavors need to be driven by the students, and they need to feel that it's their responsibility and their privilege to engage in them. So that's really the motivation behind coaching.
Okay, contrast that, because you bring this out nicely in the commentary that you wrote about your earlier teaching approach, and you call it in the article, I think, an inauthentic mode of learning. What you just described is different from how you used to teach?
Yeah, when I was a new professor at Drake, and even into my post-tenure years, I think I imagined that the teacher was what we sometimes call the sage on the stage, the repository of all this disciplinary knowledge and wisdom, and that it was his or her responsibility to dispense that wisdom or to pull students toward the understanding that the professor already has of the subject matter. And it's a cleaner, more efficient way of learning, if you will, but it's not a more effective way of learning, because students really learn better when they are investigating, you know, when they're elbows deep in a problem or a question and really working through the messiness of the issues that we raise and talk about in class for themselves. And so, and we call that a high-impact learning practice. So another way of thinking of it is the difference between a low-impact, highly efficient learning practice and a high-impact but a little messier learning practice. And so over the years, I've begun to opt for the second option.
Okay, give us an example, because you are an associate professor of English at Drake. Give us a concrete example of something you might be discussing in a classroom, and take the messy approach as to how you get that those points across.
Sure, I'll talk about something I've been doing in my first year seminar this semester. This semester, I've decided that one of the goals we're really going to emphasize is to get students to become better as collaborative, engaged, interactive learners, and we're going to make the moves and the dispositions that students need to develop really explicit. So that means that I can bring in a quotation that a student has selected from a translation of a story by Anton Chekhov, in which that student wants to question why the translator made specific choices in that rendering. And instead of standing in front of the class and summarizing the views that the student had expressed in an online discussion forum, I can hand out that quotation to all of the students, and then I tell them, I'm going to sit quietly and listen to what you all can make of Sarah's remarks, or whoever's remarks were prompting our discussion. And that's what I do, and it's really hard, I think, as a professor, just to sit back and keep your mouth shut. It's not what we were trained to do. It's not where our disposition naturally lies. And what you find is that students spend a fair amount of time kind of muddling through at first, trying to find where the traction is in this conversation. Where's the center of gravity going to be in what we talk about? And it's that impulse to jump in and straighten them out that you have to try to quell. And to let them just work through even what is it we're talking about and where are we going. And that discussion can go on for 10 or 15 minutes without any intervention from me, and then we stop. And we debrief, and we talk about what kinds of moves they were making. Were you calling each other by name? Were you summarizing what the other person had just said? Are you questioning what is going on when other people are speaking? Are you trying to interpret or reinterpret what they're saying? Are you willing to disagree productively? And what I've found is that when I take a back seat, as it were, and let them develop a kind of organic community of learners among themselves. It takes longer for us to get where we're going, but they really manage to have what sounds a lot more like a conversation than what my classrooms used to seem like.
Craig, now how have other professors at Drake experienced this type of coaching in the classroom approach?
I think there are some professors who do this kind of naturally, for whom this may have been a lot more obvious from the outset. I know one thing that some faculty are working on specifically in coaching in a classroom is getting students to build on criticism and critique. This is something very difficult for students. It's not difficult for athletics players. Student athletes tend to be really good at dealing with critique because they're getting it a lot. They're getting it from the audience. They're getting it from their coaches. They're getting it from one another, and they know how to build productively on that. Some of our faculty are learning to frame critique and criticism in a way that allows students to build on it rather than shut them down.
Mm-hmm. And
so that's an example.
Mm-hmm. And with this approach, it sounds like this is a better preparation for young people for careers and other things later in life.
Yeah, such as life.
Right.
I don't know how many of us go through a day when, for instance, we do something kind of half right and half wrong, and there's somebody looking over our shoulder saying, "Hey, that was a great try. Good job, buddy. You really put a lot of effort in that." You know, typically we encounter more frank criticism outside of the learning environment in our daily lives than we do inside of it. And we have to find ways of working with other people to move our projects, our dreams, our aspirations forward in a way that isn't just purely individualistic. And so that's the kind of mindset I hope that taking a coaching mentality into the teaching classroom allows students to develop.
Okay. Craig Owens and Sandy Hatfield Club, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to look to the future in your respective approaches here. And have you tell us what you see in the future in this development, Sandy Hatfield Club, in terms of making sports more co-curricular instead of extracurricular. Let's turn to that first of all. What questions do you think need to be answered, or what potential pitfalls did you see in talking to other sports administrators in Washington yesterday?
Well, first of all, the co-curricular approach must come from the provost office. This is not something that athletics can do on its own. It has to be embraced, welcomed, led by the faculty on our campus. And the hallmark of what will be the co-curricular programming at Drake is in a leadership concentration. So there's a 21-hour program that any student on campus can enroll in, the leadership concentration. And we are now this semester piloting for the first time a section and what may end up being a track for just student-athletes so that they can actually, as a group of student-athletes across numerous sports, start to integrate and then intellectualize what they're learning about leadership through their platform of sports. So we're very excited about that. We think that's going to be the hallmark, but that would never happen without the leadership of our provost office. So I think that's key relative to schools looking at this approach, is that it's not something that can be driven in and through athletics. It must be driven through faculty and the provost.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this taking shape, spreading to other Division I schools?
Well, there certainly was some interest yesterday. The question is a couple of things. One, and I shared this yesterday, is that we will demonstrate that we have actually created a new model for Division I sports when we can do this and win. And so when we can be competitive in the top third of our league across all of our sports, and I really believe that we're on the cusp of that, all of this is integrated into, quote-unquote, winning and into the coach's purview through something we call the Bulldog Way. This is an intentional and very intensive commitment to how we run our culture. And so we have a touchstone that we have a playbook. We have all these components of the Bulldog Way that allows a coach to take and integrate this leadership learning into their sport itself, and helping our team then come and perform at a higher level. It's all research-based. We have an assessment process that's run through our institutional analysis office, and so it's a very comprehensive university-wide commitment. But there was only one other athletic administrator on the 5-person panel with the commission yesterday, and he was the athletic director at West Virginia University, of course, one of the Big 5 leagues. And afterwards, he took me aside and he said, "Talk to me about this. I want to learn more about it. Can I send 2 administrators to your place to observe what you're doing and how you're doing it?" And so we're making arrangements to do that. So mm-hmm. I think as people start to understand how this works and why it works, not just with this higher ideal of what higher education should be, but how that it takes and gets down to the dirty work in sport, and that is how can a team perform at its very best, and we think the answers to that are inside this model as well.
Okay, Craig Owens, very briefly, in less than a minute, sum up what you see in the future for bringing the locker room into the classroom.
Well, I'd like to just elaborate, I guess, on what Sandy has just said, and that is that, you know, higher education is facing a number of challenges, and there are question marks around whether it's worth the price to go to a four-year residential college. And I think what the Bulldog Way and Sandy's initiatives and coaching in the classroom have in common is that it reminds our faculty and coaching staff and students that we are out to educate whole people, that we are interested in integrating, as Sandy says, and intellectualizing their entire experience across every facet of the university. And in my view, if the traditional approach to higher education is going to maintain compelling relevance in the future, it's going to be through an emphasis on whole person education. And that's the direction I think coaching in the classroom is taking us as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Craig Owens, Associate Professor of English at Drake University, Sandy Hatfield Club, Athletic Director at Drake. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Ben.
And that's it for our show today. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for Politics Day. Jim McCormick and Richard Monsbach of Iowa State University will be joining us as our political analysts. And once again, our view is abroad, also toward the president's address Wednesday night, where he's to lay out a game plan for military action in Iraq. That's tomorrow on Politics Day. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.